Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR, and more than money. We're definitely going to talk about more than money today, and money has created some anxiety for people, over the past week, for sure.
Yeah, it goes beyond the money, though.
But it sure goes beyond the money. I mean, we're moving into this period, and it's unprecedented in this idea of social isolation, right? But we have talked about social isolation in the past, particularly to do with, you know, people like my mom who are suffering dementia, and the effect that social isolation can have. So this is going to be a much broader conversation about what, you know, what we can expect, what some of the impacts can be, Faisal, and what some of the things are that we can do about it.
Here's one of the problems that I have. I'm a father and a son.
Yep.
I'm hanging with my kids.
Yep.
We're good.
Right.
My father,
right,
who's in his mid-70s, is in his own home by himself.
Right.
And we are hesitant to go see him.
Yes.
And so he is physically isolated, although we are keeping in contact by phone and FaceTime and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what he's dealing with by himself
right
in that home.
Well, and listen, everybody will probably handle this slightly differently, but there will be some commonality between what we experience and the problems that we may have and some of the things we need to do.
Yep.
If you're in that situation, you know, to do it. So we've got Dr. Wendy Froberg to join us. She's a recurring guest on our show. Wendy's a clinical psychologist. Wendy, first of all, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
I hope we've done a decent job of sort of outlining, you know, what either is or is coming for many people. We'd sure like to know a little bit about how at-risk people should be handling this and what they might expect to, you know, to experience.
Absolutely. Well, just first of all, if you're worried, you're normal. We should, of course, all be worried. Worries about, you know, we have this capacity to think into the future. And on the positive note, that allows us to anticipate problems and come up with solutions. But at the negative end, where we go is what we call catastrophizing. We get into the worst case scenarios and end up, you know, negatively impacting our mental health. So one of the things I always suggest is that we try to distinguish between what we call real problem worries, things that are impacting you right now that therefore you can do something about, you can take some constructive action, versus the hypothetical worries, the things that maybe might happen and are often those worst case scenarios and often to the future over which we have no control. You know, we've got a lot of triggers going on. This is an ambiguous situation, so it's open to interpretation. Do I believe that? Do I believe that? What does that mean? It's new and novel. We have no experience to fall back on for this. Nothing of this magnitude anyway. Other epidemics haven't been like this. And it's unpredictable. Nobody knows how long it's going to last, what the outcome is going to be, how bad it's going to get. So those are a lot of really strong conditions for anxiety to build up.
Yeah, I'd say you've done a good job of laying it out there. Let's talk about it. Now, there's going to be different people and different risk levels, I imagine. Maybe we start with the most at-risk people. So, you know, people like your dad, they're older, Faisal, and they're at home. You know, you and the kids might be carriers who are afraid to go over and say hi. Talk to us a little bit about that group, Wendy, and if they're in that situation, some of the things they can do to keep, you know, mental health and engaged with others and, you know, social contact to the extent they can get it.
Well, one of the things I might even suggest people who are of the age range that they can remember is if they've got any kind of wartime experiences, because, you know, we are starting to talk about this pandemic as a war. Mm-hmm. And you think about what people did during particularly the Second World War. They're just talking on television now about, you know, changing factories to make ventilators, like the way they changed factories to make bombers back in the in the war. So if those are something that's probably one of the closest experience. So what did people do then, and can we do those things now? Now we have the advantage, of course, of the internet and social media to connect people. I would not want to be going through this without the internet to keep me informed and to keep me connected. But, you know, not all seniors and older people have that. But definitely doing things they used to, you know, call it, you know, stay calm and carry on or keep up your spirits. But it's about taking action that you can, knowing what you can control and what you can't control. So definitely lots of self-care, lots of, you know, watching your eating and your sleeping and your exercise, even if you have to march up and down the hallways of your house and or turn on an exercise. The oldsters might still have DVDs. Turn that on. About keeping your life balanced. So the balancing is between pleasurable activities. So, yeah, take care of yourself. Let yourself, you know, read a book or watch television. Then the second thing to balance is achievement. We feel better when we've done something. So do some cooking, do some cleaning, you know, maybe try something new. There's all sorts of things online now about, you know, virtual museum tours and art courses and things like that. And then the third thing to balance is connection. I myself am setting up a Skype happy hour today because we need to be able to connect. So whether that's a phone call, again, some of the older folks might not, you know, be comfortable. They might not have Skype or know how to use it. But if there was any creative way that they could, someone of the younger generation could, using social distancing, you know, set them up with something and teach them over the phone and walk them through it, who knows? Maybe we could get some of these folks connected. You know, just take their laptop, download it, and then clean it afterwards. So we want to balance those things. So anything from, you know, getting outside, even if you're in an apartment and all you can do is bundle up and sit on your balcony and do some deep breathing, things to, you know, to keep us mindful, to keep us active, to take care of ourselves, even if it's having a bubble bath and, you know, giving yourself a facial, things like that. Those are pleasurable things that help distract us from the worry and help, you know, relax our bodies, which can carry a lot of tension.
Mm-hmm. Wendy, we've got, I think, two different types of people. We've got the introverts and the extroverts. This is the first time on social media I've been reading that introverts are reaching out to extroverts saying, "I feel your pain now."
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're trying to figure out what you are or what type of person you are, let's kind of break it down to those two different types of people. For the introverts, what do they do? For the extroverts, what do they do?
Well, the introversion extroversion dimension is about what do you do to kind of settle yourself, calm yourself, deal with, you know, excesses of stress and you know, what do you want to do at the end of the day? How do you make yourself feel better? And extroverts tend to move toward people. That's the way they discharge tension, and introverts tend to move away from people. And there's a lot of people we call ambiverts who have both, who really like, you know, social interaction, but also really need a certain amount of time every day to, you know, to it's like a recharge your batteries kind of thing. So, yeah, a lot of introverts are going, this is perfect. I'm really loving this. This is exactly what I want to do. But even they're starting to find that after a while, you know, it's that balance again. It's like, do you need to be so introverted when you absolutely have no contact with people at all? You actually can start to realize, oh, you know, I read someone online the other day said, you know, for the first time, I'm actually feeling like I can go out and ask for help because I never did that. I was super independent. I never asked anybody for help. But now, you know, we're all doing it. And that's the beauty. It was the same thing with the 2013 flood. The beauty of it was how people supported each other. And so I think a lot of introverts are probably going to move a little bit more toward the extroverted end of things. And I hope the extroverts learn that, you know what, it's not terrible to be alone. Mm-hmm. It can be stressful, but you can do a lot more internal kinds of things and it'll be okay. So I hope it sort of broadens our perspective a little bit.
Wendy, we're going to leave it there. We're quickly running out of time, but thank you. I think a lot of people listening, you know, we just have to continue to push the message to connect. It's not weird to feel stress
not at all. It's absolutely normal. Just distinguish what you can do, you know, do that decision. If there's anything I can do it, I'll do it now. If not, I'm going to put off my worrying. I'm going to control and be careful what you digest, you know, keep informed, but don't go down that rabbit hole of the internet and news day in and day out, hour after hour, because it'll just be overwhelming. You need a break from that.
Isn't that the truth? Wendy, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Been joined by Dr. Wendy Froberg. She's a clinical psychologist. And you know, Faisal, one of the things that may happen in this as well is maybe we have to slow down a tad. And what I'm excited about, quite frankly, is that I'm going to just get unfettered time with the family. and we're going to play board games, and we're going to do those things that sometimes we don't get to do because we're running in a million directions, going to different camps and stuff and so on and so forth. So there is an opportunity here too.
Yeah.
It's different, obviously, if you're on your own. You're going to have to take some special steps to do that.
Yeah.
But either way, these are this is a, you know, a different situation that maybe we hadn't thought about, but there's going to be lots of those things coming up. And this is all part of the retirement experience that you may have, right? We're going to live this one now. Who knows what it is, looks in the future, but we have to plan for those unplanned things.
Correct. And we're going to be talking about how do you plan for these types of volatile situations in your retirement portfolio. And we're going to do it as our first online webinar.
Yeah.
That's going to be on Tuesday, April 21st, 7 p.m. You need to go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com.
We look forward to chatting with you again next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmeli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmeli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.